So our scripture this morning comes from the Gospel according to Matthew, Matthew 18, verses 21 through 33. I think you'll find these familiar, but I invite you to listen and be sure to share with us any words or phrases or pictures in your mind that come to you as you hear these words of Jesus. Then Peter came and said to Jesus, "Lord, if another member of the church sins against me, how often should I forgive? As many as seven times?" Jesus said to him, "Not seven times, but I tell you, 77 times. For this reason, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who wished to settle accounts with his slaves. When he began the reckoning, one who owed him 10,000 talents was brought to him. And as he could not pay, his lord ordered him to be sold, together with his wife and children and all his possessions, and payment to be made. So the slave fell on his knees before him, saying, 'Have patience with me, and I will pay you everything.' And out of pity for him, the lord of that slave released him and forgave him the debt. But that same slave, as he went out, came upon one of his fellow slaves who owed him 100 denarii. And seizing him by the throat, he said, 'Pay what you owe.' Then his fellow slave fell down and pleaded with him, 'Have patience with me, and I will pay you.' But he refused. Then he went and threw him into prison until he could pay the debt. When his fellow slaves saw what had happened, they were greatly distressed, and they went and reported to their lord all that had taken place. Then his lord summoned him and said to him, 'You wicked slave, I forgave you all that debt because you pleaded with me. Should you not have had mercy on your fellow slave as I had mercy on you?'" May God bless our hearing and our receiving of these holy words. A pretty familiar story, parable, that Jesus tells. And anybody hear anything that speaks to you this morning? Ruby?
"Should you not have had mercy on your fellow slave as I had mercy on you?"
Yes. "Should you not have had mercy as I had mercy on you?" Yep. Good word. And now may the words of my mouth, the meditations of all of our hearts, be acceptable to you, O God, our rock and our redeemer. As Ruby said, should you not have had mercy on your fellow slave? It seems like a different world. Sojourners magazine told the story of Nurit Elhanan and her husband Rami, affluent Israelis campaigning for the end to the Israeli occupation of the Palestinian territories. The remarkable part of this story is that the Elhanan's 14-year-old daughter, Smadar, was killed by a Palestinian suicide bomber. "The pain of losing our beautiful daughter is unbearable," says Rami. "But our house is not a house of hate." His father survived Auschwitz concentration camp and lost many family members in the Holocaust. But in their grief, the Elhanans began looking for people like them from the other side. They met Izzat Ghazawi, a Palestinian whose son Rami, 16, was killed by Israeli troops. And together they founded the Bereaved Family Forum, which grew to more than 150 Israeli parents and 120 Palestinian parents who lost their children as a direct result of the Palestinian-Israeli conflict, and committed to working together for peace. That sounds like a different world. The parables of Jesus were all about showing a different world. Jesus told stories about people and places that seemed foreign to our way of life. Stories of a world that operated by different rules and expectations. Now, some of these stories seem to be more foreign than they really are just because of the language. For instance, today's parable talks about talents and denarii rather than dollars and cents. But it really is about dollars and cents and how we relate to them and how we relate to each other. A talent in Jesus' day was really a measure of weight, but usually used for weighing gold and silver, which was a talent equaled about 130 pounds of silver, which was roughly the equivalent of 15 years' wages for a typical worker. So when the story tells of the king settling accounts with his servants and finds that one of them owed him 10,000 talents, that would be equivalent to 150,000 years' worth of income, an exorbitant amount, an unpayable debt for sure. Now the debt of the second servant, owed to the first, was 100 denarii. A denarius was a small silver coin worth roughly the daily wage for the typical worker. 100 denarii would thus equal 100 days of labor. Certainly a more conceivable amount for most of us, though still a sizable amount to owe. If my memory serves me, that's about what the jewelry store recommends for the groom to spend on a wedding ring for today's bride. So it's no small token of affection. So one talent would have equaled 5,475 denarii. Multiplied by 10,000 in our story, the forgiveness by the king of his servant equaled 54,750,000 denarii. Any math majors here? We see that debt of 54,750,000 denarii was nothing in compared to the value of this servant to this merciful king, which in comparison, in the eyes of the first servant, 100 denarii were seemingly more precious than the life of another human being. Which calculation do you think is more reasonable or acceptable in our world today? So we might say that this parable told by Jesus was really about two different worlds. One where a person's life and a relationship between two people is worth far more than 54,750,000 denarii. And a second world Jesus told us about, a person or relationship was easily traded for just 100 denarii. Which world seems closer to ours? And poll question for today, which world would you rather live in, the first world or the second world? That was the 100 denarii versus the 54 million. First or second. We can think about that. But we do need to choose. We were talking about that earlier, making a choice. You see, we each have a choice. You have a choice between living in a world where relationships and people are a dime a dozen, or 100 denarii apiece, and a world where relationships and people are valued beyond comprehension. Really, in Jesus' day, that large sum would have been an unconceivable debt, an unpayable debt. It was a debt, a broken relationship beyond any possibility of payment or reconciliation, a debt seemingly beyond even God's plans for reconciliation for the earth, beyond hope of restoration even by God. And yet, in the world that Jesus tells us about in his parables, people and relationships are valued beyond our wildest dreams. And reconciliation by God, bringing all creation into right relationship with God, is not only possible, but a present reality for us to choose. That world exists today, right now, though we can only see glimpses of it until Jesus returns to complete it. The world we're more used to was the one that Peter stood in when he asked Jesus, "Lord, if another member of the church sins against me, how often should I forgive? As many as 7 times? Think about it. In our world, forgiving someone 7 times with no mention of repentance or sorrow is extravagant in itself. And then Jesus responds, not 7 times, but I tell you, 77 times. And some interpretations say 70 times 7 or 490 times. I say, if you insist on counting, you've missed Jesus' point completely. You've missed the extravagance of God's forgiveness. In the other world, or as Jesus says, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who wished to settle accounts with his slaves. The kingdom of heaven is the other world, the other choice that Jesus was trying to tell us about. This is a world that in so many ways is beyond our comprehension. And that's why Jesus used parables. Only a story can help us to imagine, could begin to convey this new reality, this incomprehensible world so far beyond our present reality on earth, and yet a world built upon the ultimate reality of what is truly important and where our true future really lies, in restored relationship with God. Can you imagine that the Almighty God loves you so much and values a relationship with you so much that he would wipe away 3,000 lifetimes worth of debt in a single stroke? How much debt is that? How much sin went into 1,000 years of turning away from God, worshiping idols, and then arresting, torturing, and executing Jesus, God's Son, gone in a single stroke? How much sin has gone into the colonization of this world's poorest and most vulnerable people, the Mayans, the American Indians, the African slave trade, gone in a single stroke? How much sin still goes on in the one-sided relationships between first world nations, as ours, and corporations, and third world peoples, where one side gets the natural resources to amass huge fortunes while the other side provides sweatshop subsistence labor for them, and then must buy back the manufactured products at huge markups and tariffs. Gone in a single stroke. How much sin do we still find even in Christ's church today? Abuse by clergy, to clergy, intolerance, bullying, unforgiveness, Christian nationalism, racism, gone in a single stroke. No. Gone to the cross once and for all. Once and for all, gone. For all of us, and all our sin, and all human sin through the ages, even our sin yet to be, gone. You see, that's how important every relationship between every human being and God is to God. 54,750,000 days wages. No, every single relationship between God and me, or you, or anyone else is worth far more than, to God than any amount of money or time or even the suffering of God's own Son. No price is too high for God to reconcile any relationship with God, even yours. This king in our story understood this value. His forgiven servant did not. Do we understand the value of God's reconciling forgiveness for each of us? You see, that's how much God loves you. That's how mercifully God accepts you just as you are. Sinners, like we all are, that's the value God puts on every reconciled, healed, forgiven relationship that is accepted by each one of us sinners. That's also the value, as we see in this king's actions, that God places on every reconciled, healed, forgiven relationship that is offered by you to your fellow servant or neighbor, or even your enemy. Every relationship matters that much to God. We see this through Jesus' life and his teachings, and certainly in this parable. And we see that we have a choice. We have a choice. No, two choices. Like that servant, we have the choice to receive and accept forgiveness beyond all limitations or any value that we can imagine. But we also have the choice of following Jesus' example and choosing to value every relationship under heaven, every relationship with every family member, every friend, neighbor, and yes, every enemy on this earth. Jesus died to forgive every one of these. Will you choose to forgive forgiveness of the people God loves so much, including every one of us sinners? Oh, yes, and will you choose to live in gratitude for this priceless gift God has already given you in Jesus? In God's kingdom, it's not just about freeing ourselves from the cost of our sin or somehow earning our freedom or our salvation. It's much more about responding in gratitude to a God who already forgave it all. Every bit of it. God has set us free to live without past hurts, debts, fears, or grievances, to experience healthy, forgiving, life-giving, mutual relationships that bless others as we have been blessed by God. It's your choice to make. Will you choose God's kingdom today and every day? Let us choose well. Our take-home question: who do you need to forgive this week? And do you need God's help? Will you pray with me? Strong and loving God, you've given us so much. It blows up our brains just to try and imagine how great your love is and how that has manifest in such a great act of forgiveness and grace and life-giving relationship that is beyond the stars and the galaxies, beyond our imagination for sure. So we give you thanks, O God. We come to you in gratitude. We seek to grow in our relationship, that our gratitude might grow and grow and grow. Just reaching a sliver of what we owe you. And yet you ask for nothing but our love and our loving for others. So we come to you in Jesus' name, following Jesus as best we can with your help. We pray in his name. Amen.